It is a state capitol report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent, and you have aligned to a state lawmaker as we do a roundup on legislation advancing through the capitol in this biennial budget season. And you can join in with a question or comment, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Republican Representative Scott Allen's district includes portions of Waukesha, Genesee, and Mukwonago. Representative Allen, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you.
Good morning. And you have co-authored legislation which would increase the maximum prison time for people who produce or sell drugs that cause another person's death. Why should penalties increase?
Well, it not just increases the maximums, but more importantly, it increases the minimums. It really depends on your perspective. Is the glass half full or is the glass half empty? The important thing with looking at it from a vantage point of minimums is right now someone can cause the death of another individual by way of dealing drugs. And according to the minimum sentence in the category that applies, it could only be a fine. So there is no prison sentence in that circumstance. So really the goal was not so much to look at the maximums and anticipate that, was rather to look at the minimums to say, if you take someone's life by way of dealing drugs, I think there should be a minimum prison sentence of a certain period of time, whatever that time may be, according to judicial discretion and what the statutes allow, but not simply a slap on the wrist and a fine. So we approached it from that vantage point, primarily because we are facing, as we all know, an opioid and really a fentanyl crisis in Wisconsin. The latest figures from 2021 show that 1,700 individuals lost their lives to drug overdose in Wisconsin. That's a lot of people.
When you look at the pushback from organizations like the ACLU of Wisconsin criticizing the bill, the ACLU says the punitive drug laws are ineffective at reducing drug use or overdoses. What is your response to that?
Well, I'd like to see the ACLU have that conversation with the families of the victims. Many of these people are young people that are succumbing to overdose deaths and unexpected deaths. A couple of years ago, we passed a bill in the state of Wisconsin that said, we're gonna make fentanyl test strips free and available to the public. They're legal and free, and anybody can go to their local county health department and pick them up. If you're engaged in the activity of dealing drugs, there's no excuse for you to be peddling basically a poison that kills people. You can get the fentanyl test strips, as many as you'd like, and test whatever you have in your possession to make sure you're not dealing fentanyl. If you don't take it seriously, it's one pill can kill. I mean, this is such a deadly, deadly drug that, we need to make sure people understand how serious we are in the state of Wisconsin. And I think when individuals are simply being fined for dealing this, it's not a serious enough penalty to cause anybody any degree of, concern or apprehension about possibly dealing poisonous drugs.
I wonder, Representative Allen, is committing people to prison or keeping people in prison longer, is that a solution to what you see going on with this drug epidemic?
Well, I do know that it keeps at least one individual, right? If we put one individual in prison who's dealing drugs, it at least keeps them off the street. Does it solve our problem? No, it doesn't solve our problem. Is it a step in the right direction? I believe it is.
Talking about recent legislative priorities with Representative Scott Allen with us, represents the 97th Assembly District. You can join in with your questions and comments at 800-642-1234. Let's turn to shared revenue now. State Assembly passed a shared revenue bill last week. Are you happy with the shared revenue bill as it goes to Governor Tony Evers' desk?
No, I'm definitely not happy with it. It doesn't fix the shared revenue formula. It merely augments the shared revenue formula with additional batch of revenue through the sales tax, but it doesn't fix the formula. The formula is broken. And, you know, I guess sometimes we don't always get the things that we want. I advocated for a reset, a more fair distribution. In fact, one of my colleagues, Representative Mako from the Green Bay area, had proposed a delinquency aid or a discrepancy aid formula such that there would be an adjustment over time, not that there would be one point in time where there would be a major shift, thus creating winners and losers. But instead, what this shared revenue formula does is it, you know, kind of locks in the losers, so to speak, in the shared revenue distribution. For instance, I represent a significant portion of Waukesha County. Waukesha County is the third most populous county in the state. Waukesha County produces the third greatest income tax out of all the counties for the state of Wisconsin. Waukesha County also produces the third largest amount of sales tax revenue for the state of Wisconsin. And yet, Waukesha County in the shared revenue aid distribution ranks dead last out of 72 counties on a per capita aid basis. My argument is that government exists for the people. So we should be distributing shared revenue aid to our local governments based upon population. That just seems logical to me. In a county like Waukesha, where you have so many people, you've got more death certificates that need to be issued, more streets, people driving the streets, more, you know, more drug issues and juvenile delinquency issues. It just comes with people. And the counties are really an extension of state government, really enforcing the mandates of state government. It seems to me that we should be distributing shared revenue a little bit more equitably based upon our populations, not based upon, I don't know, some formula that was fixed 40 years ago.
Given your perspective there, what do you make of the new stipulations for Milwaukee in terms of how it funds government and how local government is organized? Is that fair to the city's residents?
Well, at the end of the day, we passed the bill in the assembly. I voted against the bill in its initial form, hoping to advocate for a better distribution of the aid. And then as it got amended in the Senate and came back to the assembly, I ended up voting in favor of the amendment, thus, you know, agreeing with the package. It's not a perfect package. The reason I voted in favor of it is precisely because I felt compelled, number one, to be a good neighbor for our counterparts to the east in Milwaukee County and Milwaukee City, to do our best to help out. But also, secondly, I'm getting distracted for
that's
whatever.
That's okay. I heard a little ding. My, yes, in
yeah,
the background.
I don't know what's going on, but also because I appreciate the fact that the governor and the leaders of the legislature actually talked and they actually negotiated in good faith, and you know,
you found that productive.
Both sides walked away maybe feeling like they gave up too much, and that's generally probably a good position for compromise. And so second vote in favor was really just a nod to that kind of bipartisan negotiation, good faith negotiation. So I hope we see more of that.
Oh, that's interesting. You know, you saw work coming together on both sides of the aisle. You know, Governor Evers working with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Lemahieu, and you really found that to be a productive way of getting work done.
Amazing, isn't it?
Let's turn to education funding. This month, you voted to raise the cap on the amount of money school districts are allowed to raise from local taxpayers. The change increases from $10,000 to $11,000 per student. Bill would also increase per pupil aid for private voucher and independent charter schools. What do you hope this bill accomplishes?
Well, it does a number of things. I mean, it gets our choice schools on maybe a level playing field for funding that can offer open opportunities for other students that maybe have been shut out due to insufficient resources. So I'm excited about that. I also represent two school districts that are low revenue ceiling school districts. That's Maquonago and Waukesha. And so the challenge that they have is that they have a hard time competing with school districts literally 15 minutes away that have significantly higher revenue ceilings. And so they're competing to get quality teachers and retain quality teachers. And, you know, there's not an abundant supply of teachers these days. So certainly a school district wants to be able to compete to retain good quality teachers. And so passing this bill will allow school districts like Maquonago and Waukesha to be able to step that up and continue to compete and to continue to offer a quality educational product.
That requires money. And we talked on our program about the teacher shortage, public and private schools both struggling to hire teachers. Will this budget address this issue with this funding formula and pay to teachers?
Absolutely. There's a significant number of school districts all across the state that fall into that category of being low revenue school districts. And they, too, have an equal challenge of competing. There are plenty of school districts where they're not faced with that. And there is, an abundance of cash. None of them would confess that. But, we have to be honest. There's a great disparity, anywhere from $16,000 per student to now this new revenue limit will be $11,000 per student. Well, you multiply that change of $4,000 or $5,000, that discrepancy across, hundreds, thousands of students potentially in a school district. And we're talking real money.
Republican Representative Scott Allen of Waukesha with us as we discuss bills that are advancing and his state budget priorities. You can be part of the discussion. Call in with the question, share thoughts with a lawmaker at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is a State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're in conversation with Republican State Representative Scott Allen of Waukesha on education measures, other bills that he's backing. You can call in, be part of the politics discussion, join in with a question or share a comment at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. You are the co-sponsor of legislation that would prohibit state funds from being used to purchase materials that are deemed as obscene. Why does Wisconsin need this legislation?
Well, the Common School Fund provides a pipeline of resources for schools. And the schools are, awfully busy and engaged with instruction and executing their education plans for all the different grades. This is really a companion bill to another bill that would eliminate the immunity that is currently provided by statutes for education officials providing obscene materials or giving obscene materials to minors. So this is to sort of go hand in hand to say, okay, the state has a burden of responsibility as well if we're going to expect that our local school officials are going to be making sure they're doing a good job of providing quality resources that don't push the limits in terms of obscenity, then we need to partner with them and make sure that we're not providing a stream of obscene materials that they have to fight against.
A stream obscene materials. What constitutes obscene materials?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that question. Our state statutes has a definition for what is considered obscene. We looked at it carefully to say, is there some reason why that statute is insufficient? And I don't believe it is. It is well written, I think, and it addresses the concern of like, how do we characterize obscene? And it boils down to what is in the community interest of or community definition of what obscene might be. Because obviously we all have a different perspective about it, but sometimes things are blatantly clear. What we don't want to do is have the state be the guardians of obscenity, I guess, or of purity. I think that should be handled at a local level. I think that the school boards and school districts, they know their communities well. We've got 424 school districts across the state. I think they should be more closely monitoring their materials to determine whether it meets their community standard for obscenity or not, rather than having some statewide sort of mandate. Or, you know, some people say, is this about banning books? No, there's no ban of books anywhere in the proposed legislation. It's really about making sure that we're paying attention to it, to make sure that things don't slip through the cracks.
But would it have a chilling effect?
Well, I don't believe so. I think that, you've got right now, it's supposed to be within the educational interest, or there has to be an educational value to it in order for material to not be considered obscene. So I think there's a strong case to be made to say there has to be a substantial and substantiated educational value. In the event that there isn't, I think that we should take a step back, take a look at something carefully and say, is this really of educational value, or do I want to risk it? Now, some people say, well, why would we do this to teachers? Why would we put teachers in the line of fire as it comes to their vulnerability? Well, because the rest of us are. If you or I were to give any obscene materials, what's considered by state statute, the same state statute obscene, to any other minor, that would be a felony. But if a teacher does it in school, it's not a felony. That doesn't make sense. I think that the teachers ought to be making sure we are handing out materials in schools that isn't obscene. And some people say, well, that then now we put the teachers in the line of fire. Well, in order for that to happen, if the teacher were distributing some materials that were considered obscene based upon this new bill, they would first be faced with scrutiny at the school district level. So someone complains to the school, the principal, the school board, and the school board would have every opportunity to review and take action. In the event that the complainant was not satisfied with the school's or school board's reaction, then they would file a complaint with the district attorney. The district attorney would have to review the case. And if the district attorney felt it was appropriate that prosecution should commence, they have to take it under current statutes to the attorney general. And the attorney general, now this is unusual because we don't have this with other statutes. The local district attorneys have full authority to file a lawsuit or a prosecution against a criminal. But in this case, as it relates to obscene materials, it has to go all the way up to the attorney general. So there's plenty of review along the way to make sure we're not capriciously prosecuting someone for distributing what they thought was valuable education materials and somebody else misconstrued as being obscene.
We're talking about recent legislative priorities with Representative Scott Allen of Waukesha. You can join in along the way at 800-642-1234. Linnea is here from Janesville. Hi, Linnea.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What would you like to bring up with the lawmaker?
So first of all, I just wanted to point out that I know that you referred to fentanyl and worrying about, you know, a little bit in a pill can kill someone. However, I think it's a dangerous message to only be referring to it in pill form. Almost 2 years ago now, my son was poisoned by fentanyl that was in marijuana that he had purchased. So I think I would have never dreamt that would happen, but younger people or people that are experimenting, it's important for them to realize it's in all sorts of things out on the street, which leads me to wonder if Wisconsin had legalized marijuana, would that have happened? Being a parent of someone that, I've lost to fentanyl, I don't agree with the penalties, being increased, even with it hitting home like this. I think it's kind of looking at the wrong end of the problem. If we did more that people didn't buy the drugs, it would put the drug dealers out of business. So I think we need safer usage. We need better treatment. We kind of need to look at it from that end.
Linnea, thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing your story. My condolences. Representative Allen, go ahead.
Linnea, my condolences as well. I'm so sorry that for your loss. There's just too many people that, and we all know somebody who has lost somebody to a drug overdose, and I feel bad for you. I think that I agree that we need sort of an all of the above strategy to addressing the concerns that we have relative to the pervasiveness of drugs and the safety of drugs. As I understand it, you're right, Linnea, the fentanyl can be in all sorts of different things. People might think they're, just smoking marijuana or what have you, and it can have fentanyl in it. As I understand it, those who are purveying the drugs are attempting to utilize fentanyl because of its addictive nature.
10 seconds left.
It is super addictive, and so they are putting it in drugs, but they're not the scientists, and they're getting the measurements wrong. And that's why you can go in an instant from something that's not lethal to lethal.
Representative Allen, thank you for joining us. Scott Allen serves in 97th District in the Assembly. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.